My name is Ramona. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater and bulimic. just spent most of the morning, I felt scared, cool, and asking God to, like, help me carry the message in a way that will help everybody in the room that's here this morning. That's ultimately what it's all about, you know, carrying the message. And if there are people that are out there that are new, like, you know, if I was sitting here, what would I hear that would make me want to stay, you know? And that being said, staying, I'm going to be 34 on July 16th, and I've been coming to L.A. since I was 16 years old, a junior in high school. So I've been staying in these rooms. I've kept coming back for about 17, almost 18 years, I guess. And it'll be 18 years next February. So, to say that I've grown up in this program is, you know, that's my truth. I've definitely, like, you know, I don't think I could have come any earlier. there's while this disease took me down and beat me down hard when it did, like, I'm sure that had I waited even longer, well, whatever, we'll get to that point. I've been a compulsive overeater, and when I say compulsive overeater, I mean, like, yes, I have been bulimic. Yes, I have been able to starve somewhat successfully, restrict somewhat successfully, but when it comes right down to it, if I have to pick sides, volume, volume, volume. I'm talking, like, I don't remember a time when I couldn't have sat down and eaten a case the size of my queen-size mattress. like, people are like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, that's what I need. really, I could have done that. A macaroni-style casserole the size of my mattress, a cake, a loaf of bread, you name it. I don't think I would have eaten, like, a salad the size of my mattress. Who knows? In fact, when I was 16, but, That's my truth. That's where I come from. It's volume, it's weird. Like, because I'm coming out of on July 7th of this year, God willing, it will be 10 years out of relapse. Because although I've been in here since I was 16, I haven't had, you know, back to back the whole time. That's great. That's fine. You know. And it's becoming more and more apparent because, like, what I'm seeing now is that there's no middle ground anymore for me. I either want to, like, eat the cake the size of my queen-size mattress, or I want to, like, you know, eat two little teeny tiny salads, you know, and chicken breast. And anything in between that, I feel like I'm spending a lot of time, like, obsessing about it. But I'll get to that point. So I don't think there was ever a day that I couldn't... I've been a compulsive overeater since day one. I always share this one to be my story because I think it has a lot to do with my story. I'm a member of this program. Oh God, I need to drink more of this. my dad's family is Mexican American, my mother's family is Jewish. And there was dysfunction on both sides, and usually when we got together as families it was about, like, eating and eating and eating. And, like, I remember being fed by my grandmother, you know, like, I would stay with her for the summer as my dad's mom, and I remember one summer hearing her say, like, and she was the one that fed me every day and fed me whatever I wanted because that's how she expressed love, and I fully took it because I was a global reader, and hey, you know, she didn't know she was enabling me. And I remember saying to a neighbor that had come over, like, I was just waking up, and, oh, so one of the girls going home, oh, tomorrow, thank God, we're going to have to roll that one away, you know?
Oh.
And I remember hearing that, and I was like, damn, that's done, you know? And I look back at pictures, here's another thing I would say, like, I don't remember a time when I didn't feel that. I didn't feel fear and tension in the form of feeling like there was something not okay about me in my skin, and it must be that I was fat. And I had a mom, that still sometimes is, like, waiting for the day when the body gets good enough so you can kind of go, relax and enjoy life, you know? So that's kind of, like, what I think. I think about that energy as well. And so I remember, and another big part of my story, this is mine only, you know, well, I'm sure it's not mine only, but I'm qualifying right now, is that, and trust me when I say that my intention is never to break the tradition because I can't stand other people's freak out, but I'm also like the child of an alcoholic, and I grew up in a really chaotic, actively alcoholic, physically, emotionally, verbally abusive home. And so food, again, was like, you know, that cake-sized, you know, that mattress-sized cake was like, oh, okay, good, I'm safe, I'm cool. And so kind of like growing up with a mom that had issues, and then growing up like the children of two families that, you know, had issues around food, and then growing up with like a lot of shame and a lot of stuff that made me want to run away, like, you know, food, I heard someone say last night, like, food never said no. Food never kicked my ass. Food never, you know, told me they were going to have to roll me away. You know, food was always like, it's cool, I gotcha, you know. But it's like, I remember feeling that intense dehumanization, demoralization from, like, day one. And whether or not it came from my disease or my father's disease that I was growing up with, it doesn't matter. Like, that was just the reality, you know what I mean? I look back, and I did not grow up a chubby kid. I was very normal looking. When puberty hit, it hit early, and it freaked me out really, really badly. So I remember between the ages of like 10 and 12, that's when my disease, but that's when the volume really kicked in. You know, that's when I really wanted to like make sure that there was extra padding like between here and here, like to keep me safe. And you know, it didn't work. So the bulimia did when I was around 12 too, because while again I was trying to like, you know, protect myself from sort of physical padding, some sort of safety. I also wanted to like, you know, fit in at the girl boy parties I started going to. And so that's when I started bulimia. And more than throwing up, I've used laxatives and I've used diet pills like starting from the age of 12, and then throwing up came like later. But I don't know. I don't really know how much time I want to spend in the past. Pretty average. Felt nervous, I ate. I felt good, I ate. I felt love, I ate. I felt intimacy, I ate. You know what I mean? Like, I just ate. And I can remember, like, how to, like manipulation in this disease. Like, you know, I always think of myself, especially growing up with an alcoholic father, like, I really want to separate myself from alcoholics, and I really want to, like, I'm like, yeah, I'm an addict, but I don't go to links like they go to. But I remember, like, thinking, like, how can I get my grandma to make me what I want? I know she has a freezer. How can I get her to make it for me? And then, like, she'd say, okay, so what do you want for dinner? I'd say, oh, well, what about, you know, what's good as this? Knowing it was there. Like, not just asking, like, well, open the freezer and say, can you make me that? But, like, how do I lie about it, you know? And knowing how to lie early on to survive, you know, that's just, it's part of the disease. I'm not going to beat myself up over it. That's what I'm going to say. It's part of the disease, you know? The manipulation. And last night I was also kind of panicking because I'm like, how am I going to get up? I come to this meeting and I know 9 times out of 10 I'm going to hear someone up here that's going to be so profound and so big book and depth, and like, I really want to be in that club, you know, and I'm like, what am I going to say? And someone just reminded me last night, you know, like, this program was, you know, HOW, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And do I have those three? Like, am I committed? Am I deeply anchored in those three pillars of this program? Absolutely, you know, and so I really hope I'm carrying this morning. When I was around 16, yeah, my dad found AA, the mothership, you know. And so, you know, I don't know if he was taking my inventory or just being like a loving father at the time, but he didn't say, you know, like, because they, my parents at that point had tried, like, you know, we did the, it wasn't just like a fat camp, it was like a fat after school program. My mom put the whole family on diet, and, you know, it's funny because, like, looking back, it was really about, like, well, when Ramona gets her eating problem under control, then we'll have a happy family, you know, not like when Dad gets his ass together, we'll have a happy family. I'm sure we both needed to get our ass together, you know, but, so when my dad found these, you know, his rooms for the time, he said, you know, there is one for you, and I was like, oh. You know, and maybe it was one of my dad's nuts so bad I'd do whatever he wanted, you know. So I decided to, you know, they dropped me off at the McDonald's Center in San Diego, where I lived when I was a teenager. Not in the McDonald's Center, but in San Diego. And it's this big recovery hospital, and they dropped me off on Sunday at 4, and I was, like, I think a junior in high school. I remember, like, makeup, out, outfit. I just had to look together because God knows we come here because we all have it together, And I just remember feeling at home. I remember feeling nervous as hell, but I still remember feeling like, yes, I know what you're saying. Oh my God, yes. I understand. So something in that group, I related. And I know that's why I come. Like, being in right relation with my fellows in this program, like, oh my God, I didn't have people that understood what I meant by saying I could eat a cake the size of a queen size mattress. Because really, when you're in walking around the world, you say that, they're like, you really couldn't. I'm like, no, I really could. I don't believe you. And here it's like, yes. I have a sport too, let's go. I hated myself as a teenager. I look at these like teen shows or like these teen magazines and teenagers, and I'm like, you know, when I see Happy One, I just literally cannot forget it. I hated myself. I remember just feeling so separate and so like I would do anything to like be cool and anything to be popular. And God knows I spent so much time in fantasy land about wanting to be like fit and have like perfect clothes because that like would have meant instant popularity and stuff. And you know, when I tell my friends I was high school friends, you know, when I tell my friends that I'm still friends with from high school, like how insecure I was, like I didn't know. I was such a good faker, such a good liar, such a good manipulator, so good at like really wanting to create that reality of like having it all together, you know? So anyway, I kept coming back. I didn't get absent right away, but I kept coming back and I kept showing up and sharing. And when I was 19 years old, I really made this commitment and I started eating 3 meals a day, nothing in between. And it changed my life like dramatically and drastically. And I got a sponsor and I worked the first 3 steps. And then 4, and I was like, oh, okay. And I kind of thought, like, I don't know why, because no one ever told me this, but, like, I kind of thought, like, well, this won't take a while, so I don't really have to, like, plug away at it every day like I did my other one. So, you know, I had my food plan with my arsenal, I had, like, you know, my higher power, as I understood him, and I had a lot of, like, emotional recovery. In my opinion, and since my experience, when you don't move on to 4, you don't do it painstakingly and thoroughly, you know, your relationship, this is something for me, my relationship with my higher power kind of, like, you know, it wasn't such a clear connection anymore. It was like a tin can of strings, kind of like wasn't so strong. So when I was 19, 20 years old, and I went away to college, you know, it was my 3 meals a day program. I didn't have a sponsor because I had moved cities. I moved to Seattle, and kind of like hanging out, not working on my steps, and kind of like, you know, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, emotional, physical recovery, no spiritual. So, something happened when I went back to college, and my disease kind of kicked back in. You know, I'd go show up at meetings, and I would share, and I was taught early on not to share inventory in my pitches. It was to share recovery. Share a little bit, as vaguely as possible about the program, about the problem, I mean, and then share about the solution, which I still try to adhere to this day. And so, like, I would go and try to do that. And I probably did it to the best, you know, pretty well, whatever. But, like, I started restricting big time when I was in college. And because it was 3 meals a day, I thought, okay, it's cool. But I started getting thin, and I started getting a lot of attention because of it from, like, my family when I would go home. And then my recovery, my program, became all about, like, you know, let's see how small I can get. So I relapsed for 2 years. And I ate the cake the size of the mattress. And I just became pints by myself. And I delved into a self-hatred that it still brings me to tears. It still brings me to, like, that self-hatred when you know you're doing something that just hurts you so bad and you can't stop. You can't stop walking across the street from your college apartment and getting the Ben and Jerry's pint and then walking back and, like, watching a lame, you know, Aaron Spelling show on Wednesday night. And you want to look at the girls on that show, and yet you finish the pint night after night. And I went from, like, my tiny jeans up to, like, my fat girl jeans again. I swore to myself, you know? And getting out of that relapse after 2 years, was the hardest thing I've ever done to date. Getting out of relapse when you know how good it feels, when you know, like, you know what the possibility is, and then going back. So I knew what it was, I knew what it would take to get out, you know, and it was going to take, like, it was going to take that 4 step that I didn't want to do. So I got a sponsor that I adored, who had what I wanted on all three levels, physical, emotional, spiritual. I did whatever she wanted, and she really had me get a God that I could, you know, be anchored in when I did that 4 step. And started eating 3 meals a day. And it wasn't perfect when I started. You know, sometimes dinner was at Ben and Jerry's pint because I was like, well, I know for me, and this is again just my experience, when I restrict, which is what I did before I relapsed last time, the only time I'm going to, God willing, please, it was because I eliminated stuff that I really, really wanted, you know. And like, I think your name is Michael, like you shared, like when our food starts to get too weird now, I ask God for help around it, I make a lot of calls around it. I don't know if I'm going to get to a point where I ever give things up entirely, because in my experience, it has worked for me. Whenever I restrict, even now, after almost 10 years out of relapse, whenever I restrict, whenever I eat in a way that I think I should to, like, get that love or get that look or do whatever, I immediately, like, go back to standing at the counter and eating, like, bread out of the fucking bag. You know? Like, that's just my experience. Anyway, so what I did to get out of relapse almost 10 years ago was my 4 step was just like the size of like a Dickens novel. It was huge. I left no stone unturned because I did not want to. I wanted recovery no matter what. I wanted back-to-back abstinence, sanity, self-love. I did not want to stay in that self-hatred and that shame. You know, I always say that, like, you know, like, the drug addicts and stuff, like, yeah, like, if you do too much heroin, you're probably going to overdose one day and die very fast. And in this program, you know, they say it's like a life or death program. And I think that this program is life. I know this program. I know. I know. In my experience, this program is life and death, too, because it compromises the quality of my life so quickly when I'm in the obsession. The obsession about, like, God, I'm the only thing that thin right now. And then the quality of my life in that moment just kind of starts dropping down. And then I start spinning out, and I start thinking and obsessing. And the quality of my life is compromised, you know? It's like, it's a quality of life or death program. And I have struggled with self-hatred that I wouldn't wish on, like, anybody, you know? And I know a lot of it has to come with, you know, came with other experiences I had as a child, you know, growing up in the house I grew up in or whatever. But, like, today, what I really, you know, what I really desire, what I really, you know, my intention, what I want to be anchored in is, like, intense, profound, deep, like, unrattled shaped love, like in you know, chain links in the cement, like me in the self love, no matter what. No matter what I do, no matter what rejection I go through, no matter what failure I think I'm in, I'm walking through. Like, I don't want that self-hatred that comes with being in the food, and then even not in the food, but when you're not working your steps, you know, like the thinking, and it's like, it sucks, it's like, you still have to eat. And, like, we live in a social society, like, I love traveling, and I love going out to dinner, and I love going out to breakfast. And sometimes I wish, you know, I hear people like, I just don't like it. I wish I didn't have to eat. You know, and I'm like, I don't get it. I don't get it. You know, I don't understand. And, like, the more years I get, it's not the harder to get. It's different now. It's very different now. It's different in a way that, like, when I first got out of relapse, it was like, how can I eat 3 meals a day, God, and just, like, not lose my mind and help me love myself today, you know? And now it's like, okay, if I'm standing at a counter and I want to eat bread out of, like, the loaf bag, what is going on that I want to look at? Wow, I have a lot of love today, and I'm really afraid to make myself more vulnerable and open myself up a little bit more. Am I going to eat or am I not going to eat? Am I going to sit through that or not? Okay, God, I really want to be growing up around money and funds and, like, you know, getting out of like giving a mind frame and trusting that like I'm being taken care of financially today. Okay, am I going to eat or am I going to not eat? You know what I mean? And it's like, and right now what it's looking like, it's like, I'll just give you an example. Like, everyone who knows me knows that like I love my family. I love them so much. And my sister and my brother-in-law are getting married in July. So like, it's like, the disease is like, girls, yeah, 2 months. No, you have less than 2 months now. Like, every day, and eat a lot of salads, and let's not buy the dress less, and it's like, wow, 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 wow. Your sister knows she can count on you. Your sister asked you to be in her wedding. Your sister, like, married a man that, like, you would physically take out your own organs and give it to him if he needed one. Like, that's what that's about. It's not about, like, how's getting her Mona get before she has to buy a dress for her sister's wedding, you know? and it's like I every day I feel like I'm waking up and standing at like that crossroad, like, are you gonna go to the obsession? Or are you gonna go to like God? Are you gonna go to like the non-service? Are you gonna go to service? And it's like, sometimes I really wanna go down that road. And like, please let me go to the gym all day. I'll get first when I'm done with the wedding. You know? What happens is that I eventually want to eat more. I spend too much time thinking, and there's so much good. There's so much good. And there's so much love. Like I have, like I have a very wonderful, incredible man in my life today, and it's a long story with this guy, but like. And every day, it's like I can either open my heart a little bit more and like take the scarier little path, or I can eat the bread. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And in a compulsive way, standing at the counter, not in a loving way. You know, and it's really about like, am I going to show up for myself or am I going to eat? Am I going to love myself or am I going to eat? Am I going to like really be like a person on the planet that like is adding to the overall recovery of our world and our society and like of loving each other? Or am I gonna eat, you know what I mean? Am I gonna honk my horn and eat? Or am I gonna like, you know, take a deep breath and just go, God, I know you have my back right now. I know you do. And so if there's anyone who's new and I have a minute to wrap up, or if there's anyone who's struggling, like if I can just remember, like, that quality of life or death. Do you want to be sitting in your car hating effing life, or do you want to, like, you know, sit in your car and, like, hear your favorite classic rock song and be like, yeah. That's what I want, you know? I can't imagine, like, not being anchored in these steps, not being anchored in God, not being anchored in, like, the love of my fellows. That's 9:30, so I'm done.